It is recorded in the Gospels that after his resurrection, when the Lord Jesus Christ met his disciples for the first time, he used a greeting, which I like to use this morning, but I am going to translate it into the Arabic language and see if you can recognize it. The Lord Jesus Christ greeted his disciples by saying, "Assalamu alaikum." Peace be upon you. That's the exact translation of "peace be upon you." And the reply to that is, "Wa alaikum assalam." Peace be upon you too. What I'm trying to say is this, that the Muslims took from us Christians a greeting which we gave over to them. It was a nice thing, but we never kept it for ourselves. And we went on to good mornings and good evenings and good nights. Even when the morning is nasty, you have to say it is good morning. Especially I live in Minnesota when we have cold 10 below zero or 20 below zero, and then you are shivering your way to the next shop and somebody comes and says, "Good morning." You feel like saying, "What is good about this morning?" But when Muslims greet you, "Assalamu alaikum," I always, with perfect freedom, answer by saying, "Wa alaikum assalam." Peace be upon you too. And when you say peace to others, the Lord says, if somebody is worthy of your peace, if it will bless them. If they are not worthy of it, you haven't lost anything. So just greet people that way. Now for the message this morning, we're going to read a passage of scripture which is relevant to the season. We are approaching fast, one of the greatest events in human history, the coming of the Son of God in human form upon this planet. And about that, we are going to read from the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter and the 26th verse. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Often those people who either don't believe in God or are not interested much in following a given religion in their lives ask questions about God. And one of the questions once in a while asked by such people is, what happened to the power of God to create? According to Islam, according to the Bible, God created this universe once upon a time. And then according to the Bible, he rested the seventh day. Now the question is, if God is a creator, what is happening to his power to create now? Is that power dormant? And anything dormant is a defect. That means that these days God is suffering from a defect in His nature. But if not, then God as a creator must be busy creating. Now, maintaining this universe, keeping it going as it is one thing. And God is busy about that. But how about creating something new in this universe? And then when we ask the scientists, they tell you for sure that as far as modern science, both physics and astronomy is concerned, looking into the deeper parts of outer space, we have discovered that there is no real creation going on anywhere. Actually, the scientists say that one of the laws of science, which is called the second law of thermodynamics. Now, don't be scared by the name. It simply means that the universe, according to the scientists, was like a clock that was wound up billions of years ago. And since then, it has been steadily running down. There has been no rewinding of the clock. And that's one of the reasons why the theory of evolution goes against this basic law of physics and astronomy, the second law of thermodynamics. But according to the second law of thermodynamics, this universe is running down. There is no new creation in the entire universe. That being so, is God dormant in His creative power? Everywhere we turn around, whether you go to Quran, whether you go to other religions, or you go to science, the answer is perhaps God is not busy creating. But when you come to the Bible, we learn of an astounding thing, that God still is busy creating new things. And to that intent, we refer to a situation. You remember, Jesus Christ often made it a point to perform some of His miracles of healing and restoration on Sabbath day. In a strange sense, the Lord was trying to tell them that My Father is busy creating, and I am busy about the same job. And to show that this work that He was referring to on the part of His Father was not the work of maintaining the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ performed His miracles of healing and restoration on Sabbath, the day of rest when God was supposed to be resting. And then we go to the epistle to Hebrews, and we come to that mysterious statement about the Sabbath of God. It says, Hebrews 4:9, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." And the rest of the argument with that verse goes to say that God rested on Sabbath, having completed one order of creation. And rest of God means a completion of an order. God doesn't need physical rest anyhow, or any kind of rest. It is a way of saying that one order of creation was completed. But having said that, the writer of the epistle to Hebrews says that there is still a Sabbath rest of God to come. What does that mean? It simply means that God is now started with Sunday, the first day of the week of a creation. That's why Sunday is important for us Christians. Because Sunday is symbolic of a new order of creation that God is busy about now. God is maintaining this universe. God is creating new things in this universe. You said, well, we don't see those new things around. Where is that new creation of God? Well, the Bible says that this new creation of God, believe it or not, began about 2,000 years ago when the Word of God, the Son of God, became flesh. You see, when God entered the human stream, He did not come by way of procreation. He entered humanity by way of new creation. And that is the whole story about what the story is about, what I shared with you from the Word of God. Now, here the angel comes to the Virgin Mary with the good news of the gospel, the incarnation of the Son of God, that she was going to be a highly favored person because she was going to give birth to the word of God. And then the question naturally arose in her mind and was articulated in the hearing of the angel, was, how can this be, since I know no man? And then the answer of the angel in Luke 1:35 is important. Then the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now all commentators of this verse are agreed upon this one fact, that the combination of the power of God and the Holy Ghost in this verse is a reminder of the original creation of God. You remember in the book of Genesis, from the second verse onwards, first chapter, second verse, the whole earth was a chaos, and the Spirit of God was moving upon this chaos to create. Now comes the same situation. The Holy Spirit of God and the power of Most High God moves upon the personality of Mary to create a new reality. What reality? Therefore, the holy thing to be born of thee, said the angel in the same verse, shall be called the Son of God. Now some of you will have a problem here. You would say, was the Son of God, became the Son of God because he was born of the Virgin Mary? What is the meaning of this expression? Therefore, the holy thing born of thee shall be called a Son of God. Well, here you got to listen to it very carefully. The eternal Son of God, when he was born of the Virgin Mary through the Holy Spirit, became the Son of God in a new way. In what way? Well, the Bible tells us, in the way Adam was the Son of God. Because you go to the third chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and there is the genealogy given of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it goes all the way back to Adam, the end of the third chapter, 38th verse. And there, just before Adam, you'd say, and Seth was the son of Adam, and Adam was the son of God. Now you can ask the simple question, why Adam was the son of God? And the answer is awfully simple, because he had no human father. God created him direct. He was God's direct creation, not procreation. You see, procreation means male and female get together and then produce children. That's procreation. Creation means that it is done directly by a direct act of creation of God. So in the case of Adam, what happened? God took the body of Adam from the lower order of creation and infused the breath of human life into him directly, and he became a living soul. And Adam became a living soul. And then even Eve was created out of Adam, but she at least was created out of Adam. Adam was directly created by God. Now, in the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus Christ became God the Father, God the Son. When he was incarnate, he became the Son of God, like Adam was the Son of God. Now this is very important, because exactly this is the problem when you deal with Muslims. They say, how could he be Son of God? How could God have a wife, so to say, and produce a son who is the Messiah? Well, first of all, the Quran agrees with the Lucan account, the scriptural account, that the birth of the Word of God through the Virgin Mary was a new creation of God. For example, in Surah 19, verses 19 to 22, it is mentioned. Then Surah 3, verses 36 and 37. I'll read this Surah 3 reference as to how it goes. Then the Virgin Mary, she answered, to the angel Gabriel, how shall I have a son, since a man hath not touched me? The angel said, so God createth that which he pleaseth. When he decreeth a thing, he only saith unto it, be, and it is. In other words, according to the Quran also, the humanity of our Lord was a new creation. God said, be. And as in the beginning of this physical order of creation, God said, be, and it was. The same way God says, be, in the case of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the result is the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see, in one of the messages earlier, I said that God in his self-revelation did not choose an ordinary human personality through procreation, because the stream of humanity has been dirtied, has been sullied by the taint of sin. And yet he had to establish human contact. So the human contact was established at the point of the personality of the Virgin Mary. But to avoid that taint, the body of Christ was taken from her, and then that body became a living soul like Adam was a living soul. And interestingly enough, not only the Quran recognizes that Jesus Christ, his humanity was a new creation, but also in one solitary reference, the Quran says that Jesus Christ, in the eyes of Allah, is like Adam. If you wanted to know the reference, it is 3:37, chapter 3, verse 37. I'll read it to you. Verily, the likeness of Jesus in the eyes of Allah is the likeness of Adam. He created him out of dust and then said unto him, be, and he was. See, he created Adam out of dust and said, be to Adam, Adam was. But in the same sense, as the angel told Gabriel, and Gabriel told Mary, that about Jesus Christ too, he says, be, and it is. Now, having said this, that Jesus Christ in the eyes of God is like Adam, the Quran becomes completely silent. It doesn't say anything more in what sense he is like Adam. And at that point, the Muslims have to check up with the Injil, with the Evangel, with the New Testament, as to what is the meaning of Jesus Christ being created like Adam. His humanity was a new creation. And therefore, he is the Son of God, like Adam was the Son of God. Now I'm going to repeat it again, because sometimes we miss the point. The eternal Son of God became the Son of God when he was born of the Virgin Mary, like Adam was the Son of God. Now this should be very clear. Now why had he to be born this way? The Bible says, in order that God might start a new process of creation from this type man, Jesus Christ. And for that you have no other reference in the Quran. But when you come to the Bible, you go to the scripture in many places. For example, 1 Corinthians 15, 45 to 47. There St. Paul sums up his argument. He says, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit. And he compares the first Adam to the last Adam. It means that after having created the human race, God has not gone to sleep. Beyond the human race, God has started a new creation, which is not the race of human beings. I would put it a little more definitely in terms of a philosophical definition of man. You see, philosophers have defined human beings or a man as a rational animal. Somebody has said jokingly that man has defined himself as a rational animal, but he seldom thinks. But anyhow, we have defined ourselves as a rational animal. But if man be defined as rational animal, then the Lord Jesus Christ, after being born of the Virgin Mary, should be defined as divine human. He is not animal anymore. Divine human. One stage further. And Christians who are born again into the kingdom of God through this last Adam are also more than human beings. They are supermen. There is so much talk about supermen in America. My son, 10 years old, he is mad after the superman. And I keep telling him, son, your mother is a superwoman. I am a superman. He thinks I am joking. Believe it or not, every single Christian is a superman and superwoman. Well, pardon me, superman, no woman. Super Adam. You see, Adam is a collective term which included man and woman both. The distinction between male and female came about later. The first appearance of humanity was just Adam. So we are super children of God. And this whole popularity of Superman and Batman and Spaceman, this shows that the cry of the human soul to transcend our limitations as human beings. And I would tell you that if I had not known the transcendence in Christ of being mere human being, I would have been a bored person. And so would you be. Why are we not bold? Why are we constantly excited? Because we are super people, as Peter says in 2nd Epistle. Why? Because the Superman appeared on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. When God entered the human stream, He created a new order of creation, a new creation. And the type man of that new creation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to clarify a little more, we are born of the old Adam procreatively. You see, when we were born of our parents, we were born through procreation. But we are born of this last Adam, the Superman, creatively. How? Through faith, we are grafted upon Christ. We are not born by seed. We are born by grafting. That's what Paul said. It's like this. You take a mango tree, which is wild and bitter or sour, and then you wanted to change the quality of that tree. You take a branch of that wild mango tree and graft it upon a cultured tree. And beyond the graft, the wild tree becomes a super tree. So you see, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe it or not, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within my heart, my spirit is resurrected afresh to God. I, at that point of my encounter with God, I am grafted upon God. Now, as I said, Muslims always are anxious ultimately to see the face of God, to meet God. Even Moses wanted to meet God. Now, God is not just interested in meeting us. He wants to make us His children. Think of it. Somebody went out to a king, said, I wish I could have a brief interview with this great king. And then when he met the king said, not only I want you to have an interview with me, become a part of my family and live with me. See, that's that kind of a situation. Moses just wanted an interview with the God of this universe. In the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, you be my children. But now this distinction has to be kept in mind. We are not the children of God by nature. By nature, we are human beings. But we are adopted into the divine family. So our real nature is human, our adopted nature is divine. In other words, you and I don't become gods, we become adopted children of God. It's like this, you take a piece of iron and put it in fire. It acquires properties of fire, and yet still it is a piece of iron. So we are not, that's what the Hindus say, you become God. The Muslim mystics say you become lost in God. You are God yourself. But the Bible makes a distinction between adoption into the family of God. We are adopted sons of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the born, the begotten Son of God. You see, we are born again children of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is begotten Son of God, not created. But when we come to know God in our lives, we are born again. And to what? Born again to become adopted children of God. And the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Adoption, bearing witness with our spirit that now, here and now, in heaven we don't know what it will be, but here and now already we are children of God. Now, I am saying all this, first of all, of course, to make it a little Bible study, but also to tell you that here is a point of contact to proclaim to Muslims something which is totally out of this world for them. The reason why Jesus Christ was like Adam. Of course, the Quran has a very obscure reference to new creation, which I am almost sure no Muslim ever understood. It is in chapter 50:15. Here it is written, just one solitary verse. Were we then worn out by the first creation? Yet they are in doubt about a new creation. Sometime try it as an experiment. Ask a Muslim priest, an expert, what does he know about this new creation in the Quran? I can tell you he would have nothing to say, as best as I have known. Because this is a subject entirely unknown to them. That God has already started a new creation, a race of supermen and women, through the coming in of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did the Lord have to be born supernaturally? For two reasons. First of all, the sinless holy God finding a sinless holy medium. You know, his own body, humanity, the Lord Jesus Christ called it the temple. You remember that? Once he told the Jews, if you tear down this temple, I'll build it up in 3 days. And they thought he was talking of the temple in Jerusalem. His body was the temple of the Word of God. Actually, the temple, physical temple also, was not the plan of some human architect. According to the scriptural record, the original plan of the temple was revealed to Moses as a copy of a heavenly original. And I have a pretty good idea that that heavenly original was the humanity of our Lord. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the real temple. That's why he said, here is a greater than Solomon. So who could be greater than Solomon? God, Solomon's God, living in the temple which Solomon dedicated. Solomon just dedicated a physical temple. Here is someone who is in a temple greater than Solomon. And you tear down this temple, I am going to rebuild it. You see, that temple that was limited in time and space, I am going to speak about it maybe tomorrow, became a universal temple. But through his humanity, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy God, could establish contact with sinners. You see, even if God were to use a prophet like Muhammad or David or Solomon, they are all sinful people. And God could never reveal himself completely through sinners. Therefore, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Now, we come to a little issue, and you must keep it in mind, try to understand it, because that's very important for what is to follow about the crucifixion of our Lord and about his humanity. The church theologians, before the rise of Islam, had a big theological issue they were debating about. The issue was this. After he became flesh, after the Word of God became flesh, did the two natures, divine and human, fuse into one and become one nature? Or did the two natures of Jesus Christ, after the incarnation, remain distinct? You say, why were they worried about that little problem and this kind of an abstruse problem? Well, this problem centered around the status of the Virgin Mary. There were a group of people, the Orthodox people from the Western churches, who were called the Monophysites, believers in one nature of Jesus Christ. That means the human and divine natures, according to them, became one, fused into one, when Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. Now, these people, Monophysites, wanted to adore the Virgin Mary as the mother of God. The Greek term for that is Theotokos, the mother of God. And if you thought that that's a remote problem, today you find amongst yourself many people who still use that term, mother of God. And then they believe that since Mary was the mother of God, she would have a part to play in the process of redemption. And obviously, you see, in human situations, if you want to approach a governor and you can do it through his mother, that would be easier. So people have an idea that maybe Jesus Christ is not approachable directly, therefore use his mother as a recommendation. Or get a recommendation from one of the saints. Whereas the Lord says, I need no recommendation, I know you very well. Every one of you by name, come directly. But somehow we have an idea, he's too big for us. We need some recommendation going to him. So they thought, Virgin Mary was the mother of God, therefore she gave birth to the Son of God. And she was the mother of God. Now they knew that the eternal Son of God was different. He was never born. But after he was incarnate, the human and divine natures became one nature, monophysite. There was another party representing the Eastern churches, and their leader was Nestorius, who was dubbed as heretic. And even now, I think in our seminaries, we are teaching that Nestorius was a heretic. And if somebody is teaching that, please know, you are absolutely wrong there. Now we have better information on him. He was not a heretic. If Nestorius was heretic, all the Protestants are heretics. Because Nestorius said, don't call the Virgin Mary Mother of God. Just call her the Mother of Christ. Christotokos. Or the mother of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't call her the mother of God, because he said that after the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you still can distinguish between his human nature and divine nature. They did not fuse into one. Therefore, the Virgin Mary gave birth only to the humanity of our Lord. She was not the mother of God. Especially he was worried about non-Christians. What would they think? And poor Nestorius was right. Because right there where Muslims began to misunderstand a little about Christian doctrine of Trinity. And the Quran says in many places, say not three. Three what? Virgin Mary, Messiah, born of Mary, the humanity of our Lord, and God. And there is not a single verse in the entire Quran criticizing the proper doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Not a single verse. And yet many of us say, well, Muhammad did not understand the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Well, maybe he did not understand, but he didn't criticize it either. He only criticized a tritheism where the Virgin Mary is the Mother of God. Now, according to the Protestant stand, according to Nestorius, the Oriental churches, the Virgin Mary was the Mother of God, and she only gave birth to the humanity of our Lord, which was like old Adam, the last Adam. Now, there are many passages in the Quran, at least three or four, which deal with the humanity of our Lord. And I like to mention some of those so that you may know what to do. For example, it says that Jesus Christ, his mother, was a saintly woman, and both of them used to eat food. It says, don't call Messiah the Son of God, because Jesus Christ and his mother Jesus Christ was born of Virgin Mary, and the mother was a saintly woman, and both of them ate food. And that is 575. Well, yes, Jesus Christ ate food in his humanity. But that doesn't mean that he was not an incarnation of the Son of God. We also recognize that. He ate food, he got tired, he slept, he suffered pain when somebody hurt him. But all that had to do with his humanity. In his divine nature, he was still God. And then often the Muslims say, quote the Quran, 575, this is the statement, Christ the Son of Mary is no more than an apostle. Other apostles have preceded him. But the interesting thing is this, that exactly the same statement is made about Muhammad also. The statement about Muhammad in chapter 3, 144, is this, Muhammad is no more than an apostle. Other apostles have already deceased before him. Now, the Muslims believe Muhammad is no more than an apostle, and then they go around and make him almost like God. He says he is the final apostle, final prophet. Then they say that the light of Muhammad was created first in the universe. And then the whole universe came about through the light of Muhammad. Well, the Quran says he was no more than a prophet, than an apostle. But in spite of the fact that the Quran says he was no more than an apostle, they have made him almost like God. Well, if they can do so, the same word is used about the humanity of our Lord. He was no more than a human being. His humanity. And yet, in this human nature was manifested, in this temple was manifested the presence of God. By the way, when the Lord Jesus Christ said to the Jews that if you tear down this temple, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. The temple in Jerusalem at that time, this might interest you, was absolutely empty as far as the Holy of Holies is concerned. See, there was the holy part, the outer court, the holy part, and the Holy of Holies, where the high priest could enter only once a year. And there was the Ark of the Covenant there in olden days. But in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know it for sure, the Holy of Holies was absolutely empty. There was no symbol of the presence of God. The one who had the symbol of His presence in the Holy of Holies in olden days was now mostly teaching in the outer courts, the Lord Jesus Christ. And still they were worshipping emptiness in that temple. Well, anyhow, if you thought, the Quran says Jesus Christ was no more than an apostle, but when we consider some of His miracles, according to the Quran, they are unique. No apostle ever performed them. For example, the Quran says He performed some of those mighty miracles of healing the sick. This is mentioned in chapter 5, verse 110, His miracles, and I'm going to read those out to you. O Jesus, Son of Mary, remember My favors toward thee and towards thy mother, when I strengthened thee with the Holy Spirit, that thou shouldest speak unto men in the cradle. Think of it. He spoke to people while just newborn babe. You say, where did this come from? Well, this came from apocryphal gospels, not from the New Testament. When thou didst speak to men in the cradle, and when thou wast grown up, when I taught thee the scripture and wisdom, and the law, and the gospel, and when thou didst create of clay, as it were, the figure of a bird, and by My permission, and didst breathe thereon, and it became a bird by My permission. And thou didst heal one blind from birth, and the leper by My permission. And when thou didst bring forth the dead from the graves by My permission. Now here is one interesting miracle mentioned, which is from the apocryphal gospels, that Jesus Christ as a little child once made a bird out of clay. He was playing with other children. That's the apocryphal story, and the Quran gets it in, captures it in the book. He was playing like little children, then He made a little bird out of clay. It was on a Sabbath day. Somebody told Joseph that your son is making toys out of clay on Sabbath. So Joseph came running to find out what was happening. And as soon as Joseph came, he said to Jesus Christ, why are you doing this on Sabbath, making toys out of clay? And according to the apocryphal story, the Lord Jesus Christ clapped His hands and the clay bird became a living bird and flew away. Now, we don't care if it is from the apocryphal gospel, but it proves a very important point. In the Quran written, it is written, thou didst create a bird of clay and create it into a living bird. The word create is used. Then in another verse, speaking of the idols, the Quran says that creation is only possible with God. no non-gods could ever create. And in one place challenging the idols, idolaters, the Quran says that your idols are dead and they cannot even create, the word create, a fly. Nor can they shoo away a fly when it sits on them. Your idols cannot create a fly. Only God can create. And here Jesus Christ created a bird of clay into a living bird. You can tell that to Muslims and see how, what a big impact it would have on their minds. Jesus Christ, who was no more than an apostle, performed some of the miracles which no mere apostle ever performed, according to the Quran. There was no single apostle who ever raised the dead back to life like Lazarus, dead for 4 days. In the entire Bible, nobody ever did that. There was no one who ever healed blind from birth. And then, take the apocryphal story to be right for the time being, there was no one who ever created living birds out of a bird of clay. He had the power to create life, though he was just an apostle. Why? Because in that humanity was also the Son of God. Behind the Son of Man was also the Son of God. He was divine. Therefore, he had the power to create. And this is one of the most, it is a very small verse, but one of the most powerful arguments or powerful persuasions for a Muslim to understand that Jesus Christ, even after incarnation, was divine. And they have a hard time trying to explain this verse away. And then, I want to conclude it because my time is over. The sum of the whole presentation is that the Son of God or the Word of God, we will use the expression Word of God for a while, dealing with Muslims, when he became incarnate, he entered human stream creatively. Now, according to Muslims, when the word of God was revealed in the Quran, what happened? Quran is written in a material book. You can ask the Muslims, is that material book eternal? I'm not talking of the message in the book, but the pages, the material pages of the Quran. That is matter, isn't it? Suppose we say that even the pages, the matter of the Quran on which the book is printed, eternal. That means we believe in the eternity of matter. And that's a pretty bad thing. To say that matter is eternal, then God didn't create matter. At least the material in which on which the Quran is printed is not eternal. The message can be called eternal. Even there is doubt there too. But in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, the material body, humanity, was a new creation. So much so that it was the perfect medium of the expression of the glory of God. The glory of God was shining through the face of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. And then, of course, the famous testimony of John the Divine. We beheld his glory. In the beginning was the Word became flesh, he dwelt amongst us as Jesus, Son of Mary, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father. As Moses, when he met God, he had temporary glory. He had to throw a veil across his face because his glory faded away too. And that was anticlimactic. But the glory of God was shining constantly through the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, morally, spiritually, even physically. Because God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself.